How many of you know we're in a shaking season? The Lord is shaking everything that He can be shaken so that it can stand. And anything that can't stand will be shaken. So it's shaken. So when somebody says, how you doing? Same, you're shaking, man. What's shaking? You. You be shaken. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Glory. First Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, please. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able to. See, people can believe but not receive. There's a difference. People can say, man, I believe, but they're not receive. In other words, they may believe what it says, but they don't receive it. There's two different things. This is the difference between mature and immature. This is the process of growing and converting. Because see, you've got to, every one of us as a Christian, Christ, in Christ, and we'll talk about more of that, it's got to get to a place where we not only believe it, but we receive it. So it's not just for somebody else, it's for you. Amen. For you are still carnal. He said, even now you are still not able to receive it. You may believe it, you may say you believe it, but you can't receive it. That means you are still carnal. Carnal means human nature. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He's saying, you're acting just like every human person, human nature. Does everybody get it? He says, for when one says, I am of Paul, another says, I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, they're comparing, they're competing with one another. There's envy, there's strife. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the what? Increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the what? Increase. Human. There is a battle, I'm going to share with you, between the human nature and the divine nature. It's like the human nature versus the divine nature. And that battle continues in Romans 8, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Maintaining the divine nature is essential for me and you. In verse 1, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who do not walk according to the flesh or human nature, but according to the Spirit. Walking to according to the Spirit is walking according to the divine nature. So he's saying that there's a battle between the human nature and the divine nature. It's constant. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. God sent His divine nature. That the righteous requirement, so there is a requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the human nature, but those who walk according to the divine nature. It is fulfilled. It is a righteous requirement. For those who live according to the flesh, the human nature, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the divine nature set their minds according to the things of the Spirit. Two different things. For to be human-minded or carnally minded is what? Death. This is what separates me and you from the world. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh or in the carnal, the human nature, cannot please God. So understand this, human nature cannot please God. Wow. This is called the worldly nature, human nature, versus the divine nature. God sent his son Jesus the Christ, the divine nature, to save those in the world from what? Hell. And from his wrath. Why? Because only those according to the divine nature will make it home. There was an exchange from a condemned life to an eternal life. To those who walk in the divine nature. Other than that, every human in this world is condemned until divine nature is established. This is where I really believe that the Spirit is wanting us to see this all the way through. Because only those who walk according to the divine nature make it home. That's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maintaining the divine nature. This is a, when you are born again of the Spirit, it is a reality shift. It's a total reality shift. A whole different reality comes to you now. You're no longer living according to the reality that you used to live. You're living in a new reality now. And so in living in that new reality, you want to maintain the divine nature, because once the divine nature begins to diminish, you begin to lose that reality, that new reality. In fact, you begin to lose your own identity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, is everybody okay? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, in Christ, in where? Then he's walking in the divine nature. Amen? He is a new creation. In other words, you cannot become a new creation walking in the same human nature. It's impossible. Old things have passed away. In what? The new nature, the new divine nature. Behold, all things are becoming what? New. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. This reconciliation, I want you to grab hold of, is who you are before you came here. Because you were already with him before you came. It says you were with God. So what he's trying to do, he's trying to restore who you really were from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. That is, God was in Christ. The divine nature of God, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In other words, you can't be reconciled to him without the divine nature. Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of what? Reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for the divine nature. We are ambassadors to get people to come out of the human nature and go into the divine nature. We are ambassadors of... We are. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were what? Pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for me and you, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, you cannot become the righteousness of God without the divine nature. It's impossible. It's just impossible. In Christ, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, that divine nature, that person is a new creation. Taken off He has taken off the worldly nature of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, selfishness, addictions, lying, unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, all of those things that pertain to human nature and human living. Vanity, all of those things that pertain to anything. No longer a part of that. Taking it off and putting on the divine nature. What divine nature of what? Love. It's love. Love is God's divine nature. It's the main character of his divine nature. Love. Oh, hallelujah. What? Yeah, love, power, and what? Sound mind. That's his divine nature. Of Christ's nature. In other words, this is a character and an integrity that is established in me and you because of his presence. That divine nature is associated with his presence. Now, there are fruits of this divine nature, which is peace, joy, and righteousness. You're walking in peace. You have joy. In other words, you're still maintaining the joy of your salvation. You haven't forgotten it. When you forget it, you begin to diminish the divine nature. You maintain that joy. You are so joyful when someone comes to the Lord. Why? Because you know that they're going to get a new nature. You know that something's going to happen to them. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There should be joy of your salvation all the time. No matter what you're going through, there should always be that joy. Oh, hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2. Maintaining divine nature. See, so what we're always doing is there's always that shedding, there's always that movement, there's always that tearing apart of the old. Because it clings. It wants to cling. But the new wants to walk away more from the world. Wants to walk away more and more from the world. That new divine nature. It's always an examining itself. It's a constant movement away from the world. It's a constant movement. It's not a one-time event. It's constant. Because you're always battling every day. Why? Because you live in a world of corruption. You live in a world where you're hard-pressed on every side. No matter where you turn, the influences of the enemy is always trying to promote your human nature again. Oh, glory. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you he what? He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins and once you where you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by what? Human nature. Nature. Children of wrath. The human nature are as the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, because of his what? Great love, with which he loved us, even when we were idiots out there, when we were dead in trespasses, we were humanites, made us alive together with Christ by grace, by his plan, you've been saved. By his plan, you've been saved. So if you're not willing to cooperate with his plan, can you make it home? No. And raised us up together. And he made us sit together in heavenly places in the divine nature. If you're not walking in divine nature, you ain't sitting in heavenly places. Does everybody get that? That's why it's called a divine nature. Because it places you in heavenly places. Oh, dear God, I hope we get this today. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus in the divine nature. So you can't be seated in heavenly places without the divine nature. That's why it's called divine. The vine's got nothing to do with here. It's another place. It's at the seats of Christ. Glory. The human nature, children of wrath, controlled by the ruler of this earth called the Prince of Power of Air, promotes disobedience and rebellion, selfishness. It's Satan's kingdom of influence. And how does he influence us? Through memory and thought. So through your memory and your thoughts, he's influencing us. So we're either going to cooperate with what we think or rebuke it. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Maintaining the divine nature. Is everybody there? For I will take you from what? Among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Let me share something with you also. In other words, I'm going to gather you out of all of your cultures. It doesn't matter what color you are, what nationality you are. I'm going to gather you out of all of them. Wherever your heritage has been, your from your family line, I'm going to gather you out of it because I got a brand new one for you. See, to become a new creation in Christ, you've got to get a new inheritance. You've got to live in a whole other culture. You're no longer who you used to be. You're no longer Irish, German, Italian. You're no longer those things. You are new in Christ. You are now Christ. See, we've got to begin to recognize these things. Even though we still carry that nature, that culture with us, we may speak multiple languages and everything because that's a part of that old culture, but it no longer has dominion over the new divine. It's the divine nature is utilizing that arena to express the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be what? Clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your what? Idols. Idols are always promoters of self. And how do you get cleansed? You got to repent, right? So the blood cleanses you. And then I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone, which is associated with the human nature. And I'll give you a heart of flesh or heart that's moldable. I can mold it. And then I will put my spirit in you, my divine nature in you. And I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So understand that the divine nature connects with father and daughters. Amen? Father, daughter, son, father. That relationship. That's the divine nature. It's his character. It's his integrity. So here we are cleansed by repentance and sin. We're washed by the blood. We get a new heart. Now, I want you to understand that the heart is a representation of the character. So we get a new nature with a new heart. Giving his spirit divine nature that promotes the will and purposes of God. He empowers us through his presence and his words. He empowers us through his presence and his words. And the renewing in the of the mind process, or what we call the soul conversion. Because the soul is always being in conversion state. Until he has possessed our entire life. That's his desire, that he possesses our entire life. That he possesses our tongue. Our attitude, our motives, our desires. So we get to a place where your human nature is dissolving away. And a divine nature is arising. Always. Always moving. Always moving. Is everybody okay? Oh, praise God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Maintaining the divine nature. Again, we talk about converting the soul. Without a soul conversion, there can't be a divine. Why? Because that's what the place of divine nature wants to take over. Is your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires, your memory, so forth. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 2. Let's speak it, please. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his what? Divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to use exceedingly great and what? Precious promises, that through these things, through these what? Promises, amen, through these precious promises, in other words, knowledge of his covenant, of who he is, we may partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more what? Diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in other words, we never lose that divine nature or that attitude of that divine nature. See, how our attitudes and motive and desires are being influenced. It's either being influenced through the human nature or through the divine nature. But it's God's presence that's always establishing that divine nature for me and you. So his words that he speaks to you, the words that you read, that presence, that's why we are lovers of his presence, because if you're a lover of his presence, you're a lover of his divine nature. That's what allows you to be a son and daughter of the Most High God, is that divine nature. Godliness, love, obedience, respect, submission of the divine order and divine call will promote the divine nature to perform a divine will and your divine destiny. Without the integrity and character of the divine nature, whatever we do will be nullified of good works. Does everybody get it? So you can be a great worker. You can do all kinds of things. You can be showing up at your job. You can be doing all whatever it may be. But if the divine nature is not there, God is not accounting it for anything that you and I do. If the divine nature is not behind it, it is nullified. That's only where good works, truly good works come from, is backed by the divine nature, not by the human nature. Amen? Does everybody get it? There are people working out there and busting their butt, but they're doing it in the human nature, thinking it's going to be accounted to God, and it will not. Only a divine nature, that divine character, when it's established in a person, will it be accounted for them. As we deny or die, as we deny ourselves or die naturally, humanly and carnally, selfishly, the new life of the divine nature through the Holy Spirit floods every condition. And we become transformed if we let him. Only by maintaining the divine nature can we become perfected. Only through that. In Galatians chapter 5. He's trying to get us to a place where we are reaching a place we are his divine property. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. Isn't it amazing how in the Word of God that you can go to the same scriptures multiple times and there is a deeper and deeper divine revelation? It's amazing to me every time. And Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, which means walk in the what? Divine nature. And you will not fulfill the lust of the human nature. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's that war between the two natures. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish or that you desire. But if you are led by the what? Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the human nature are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorceries, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, and revelries, and alike. Of which I tell you beforehand, and anything like that that's associated with the human nature, as just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, because only the divine nature can inherit the kingdom of God, not the human nature. But the fruit of the human nature, of the divine nature, is what? So we see that there's the divine nature battling the human nature. So here's the divine nature. The fruit of the fruit of the Spirit of divine nature, the first one is what? Love. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ of the divine nature have crucified the human nature. The flesh. With its what? Passions and its desires. Wow. If we live in the divine nature, let us also walk according to it. And let us not become conceited or provoking one another or envying one another. Divine love. Human nature versus divine nature. It's love, joy, and peace. Again, the first three fruits of the divine nature is love, joy, and peace. Wow. Which produces righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 13. Glory. In verse 4. What does it say? Love suffers. Suffers when? Long. And is what? Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely or disrespectfully. Does not seek its what? Own. Is not provoked. Doesn't think evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, endures all things. Love never what? Fails. This is divine love, which is from a divine presence. It promotes, it is the promoter of the divine nature, God's love. It forgives, it trusts, it departs from evil. It controls its tongue and thoughts. Human nature gets offended. Whoa. When a human nature gets offended, it becomes defensive. I'm going to say it again. When the human nature gets offended, it becomes defensive. When it reacts instead of responds, it will cause, when somebody reacts instead of responds, the divine nature retracts. Is everybody with me? Does everybody understand that? In other words, what's the enemy trying to do is get you to react. Why? Because if he knows he can get you to react, he can cause the divine nature to retract. Does everybody get this? Now say it with me. If the enemy causes me to react, the divine nature will retract. Oh, hallelujah. Then what happens? People begin to lose the joy of the salvation. They get caught into worldly cares and vanities, and that diminish the divine nature. That's the enemy's object, isn't it? That he comes as what? Steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. Maintaining divine nature. So, who is the protector of the divine nature? We are. We are. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Why? Because you'll grieve the divine nature. That divine nature begin to diminish. Anybody ever known someone that's gone from the divine nature to back to the human nature? Amen. Come on. People are still battling it with it every day. First Peter, what did I say, chapter 2? Oh, chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1, and verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me share with you that right now, because we are in the last days, those walking according to the divine nature will shine. Those human nature will not. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various challenges. I love this part. You are going to be challenged. Not only will God test you, but the enemy will challenge you. And God will allow it to see where your genuineness is. It's truly to see where your heart is. That the genuineness of your faith or of your heart being much more precious. Why? Doesn't God want you to, he loves us. He wants us to be his children. He wants us to be his soldiers and warriors. But you can't become a soldier and a warrior if you can't become a child. He wants us to be mature. But he does not associate with the human nature. He has no fellowship with it at all. He only has fellowship with the divine nature. So that the genuineness of your heart be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This testing the genuineness of your character. It's really not for him. It's for us. So that we can see. If we're willing to see and make a change. He's always asking me and you. The challenges come to see if we will make a change. That means that we must cooperate. Are you willing to receive the counsel, correction, and direction of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to search out and look in the area of conviction? Whether you think you're wrong or you're right. There's only one right. when we get into an attitude of, I'm right, we're wrong. Has everybody got it? There's only one right. In Romans, let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. So in this, we must always be willing to make a change. Does everybody get that? Proverbs 23. Glory. You know, anybody ever not get what you wanted? Hello. Welcome to the earth. It's what you do when you don't get it. It's what you do when you don't get it. That's where the test comes. Did you ever get to a place where you were actually expecting something different? And it didn't happen. You might be expecting God to do something. You might have had a word from the Lord or a prophecy or whatever it may be. But it didn't happen the way you expected it to happen. People blame God. Or they blame others. Let me share with you, if you fall into the blame, you're in the human nature. Does everybody get it? If you fall into the blame, you're in the human nature. The only one that you and I are to blame is ourselves. Why? Because we could have done something. We could have made the change. We could have done something different. Does everybody understand? I know if somebody runs a red light, amen, and hits you, well, you know what? Maybe there's an area there to where maybe we weren't paying attention. We were just eyes were just on the green light, not realizing somebody was coming. You know? I remember being stoned out of my mind. Some guy ran a red light and hit me. We kept spinning like this. We both got out of the car and crawled on our hands and knees. I didn't know what happened. But you know what? If I was paying attention and not being stoned out of my mind, I would have seen that person coming. And I'm not saying those things are always in that way, because things do happen, don't they? Amen? But one of the things that happens is, you know, the Word says that many afflictions come to us when we go astray. So God is trying to get our attention, isn't He? He's trying to get us to cooperate with the exchanging of that human nature to the divine nature. Why? Because He loves us unconditionally. He doesn't want me and you to fall in a place where the enemy has access to us to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why He came. He came to bring His divine nature for me and you. That's why He left His Spirit. That's His divine nature. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Proverbs 23. Is everybody there? In verse 6. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Do not eat the bread of a miser or a compromiser, nor desires his delicacy. For as he thinks in his heart, in other words, this is his character, he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. That's incredible. In other words, in this, where the new identity is diminished, that's one of the things the enemy wants to do, is diminish your identity. When he's diminishing your identity, your divine nature is being diminished, because they walk hand in hand. Who you are in Christ is determined on how the divine nature is matured in you or not. And so this here, the lack of divine nature is present when we begin to lose our identity. Does everybody understand that? When you begin to drift from your identity of who you are in Christ, the divine nature is beginning to diminish. It's not present there the way it should be. taking no thought of ourselves. We want to get to a place where we're not just thinking of ourselves anymore. Amen? When you and I get to a place of not thinking about ourselves anymore, the thoughts of God come. See, because remember, in that soulish arena, there's that battle. So we're not thinking about ourselves anymore. The only thing we're thinking about is my character pleasing Christ? Am I walking in the divine nature? Am I doing the things that I'm supposed to do according? Am I being selfish? Am I prideful? Am I arrogant? Am I disrespectful? Am I submissive? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I doing it with all of my heart? Am I fulfilling the call in the divine nature? Or am I still fulfilling the human nature? That's where we have a self-examination all the time. So we want to get to the place where our thoughts are the thoughts of God. So that what we see, we're seeing what God sees. Remember I shared before that God's greatest desire is to see what he sees, that we see what he sees. In 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, we have spoken this over and over and over and in the scripture. And it's so revealing of the battle between the human nature and the divine nature. And he says this. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Submit yourselves to your elders. The human nature don't want to submit to nothing. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. In other words, respect one another. And be clothed with what? Humility. Humbleness. Humbleness. That means you're not first. For God resists the what? Proud. He resists that human nature. But he gives grace to the humble, which is associated with the divine nature, isn't it? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, that promise is coming. The only reason why some promises are delayed is because we're not walking in the divine nature. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant. In other words, be alert and what? Consistent. Amen? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Can he devour? Look it. He's going to try to access you through your thoughts, your memories, or anything that's going around you to try to reactivate your human nature and diminish your divine nature. That's his job, and he does it well. It says, resist him steadfast in the what? Faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody goes through it. There's that battle all the time. But may the God of all grace, all plan, the highest plan, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, after you've learned the difference, after you've been willing to make an exchange, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and then what? Settle you. Setting you into the divine nature where nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I want to close at Acts 17. Maintaining the divine nature. First, you got to recognize you got one. Sometimes you might have to ask somebody, man, do I have a divine nature? They'll tell you whether you're in the flesh or you're in the spirit. Hallelujah. We want to, again, we are reaching a place. We are his divine property. Acts 17:29. Glory. Therefore, since we are the what? Offsprings of God. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by the art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Now, wait a minute. If the fruit of righteousness is only established by the divine nature, then all those who are of human nature will be judged. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." So Paul departed from among them. He booked. He said, "That's it. I gave you what I needed to go." But then he caused a stirring. Let me tell you, every time you start talking about those areas of the divine nature or the resurrection, that's why Jesus rose from the dead, so he can exchange that new nature, that divine nature, and give it to me and you through his Spirit. Think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why God, Jesus, 500 disciples, he told them, "Look at man, do not leave Jerusalem until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit." Why? "That's my divine nature. Other than that, you'll try to establish my divine nature without me." You may know the word, preach the word, quote the word, but my divine nature is not there without my presence. There's a difference. That's where the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. But think about all of them that were up in the upper room waiting for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, when they got filled with the Spirit of God, a whole reality came to them. A whole dimensional arena, a whole reality shift came to them. They were, "Oh my God, I'm no longer who I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ." I'll never forget my infilling of the Holy Spirit. I realized that I was his son and he was my dad. That was instant. I realized that the things of the world I didn't want no more. I didn't like lying or cheating. I didn't like disrespect. I didn't like dishonesty. I didn't like evil. I didn't like any of those areas. I had to forgive my family. I had to forgive my parents. I forgave everyone that offended me in the human nature, because I didn't want any attachment of that human nature to my new nature, divine. It was a divine nature. I began to see what he wanted me to see, hear what he wanted me to hear. There was a fellowship in it, in that divine nature. That's all I wanted to do, was to live for him and fight for his presence and no longer mine. Loving to exchange my presence for his presence. Why? Because our presence is nothing but a human nature, but his presence is the divine nature, where you and I could be a witness. There are times of trouble right now where we must be ready in season and out, no matter what. If that divine nature is constant, you will be healed. Because that divine nature will bring healing. Most of the time, it's emotional healing. There's scarring of the heart. There's hurts and wounds. People are still reacting according to the human nature. And it's retracting the divine nature because of the things of their past or how they've grown up or what's happened to them. You cannot live in the past and expect to walk in a divine nature. It's impossible. We live from the future to the present. That's what allows me and you to walk in a divine nature. And we stay filled and fed with divine words and divine presence. And the divine nature will express himself through you. And the world will see. Amen? Praise God. Father, we are honored and blessed for your word. We ask, Lord, for your mercies and your grace to abound abundantly as we repent for any associations with the human nature or any attachments. We ask that you continue to cut us loose from all emotional attachments of all people, places, and things, the human nature, and all events or even accidents and traumas that have happened into our life, Lord, that are still staggering, attached, or hindering us. Lord, cut us loose from ourselves and our past and all of those things, that we may step into the future, into the divine nature, and be sons and daughters that are pleasing to you, with signs and wonders following, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.